heaven and of earth, my help comes from the Savior, who saved me by his word. My help comes from the healer, whose stripes have made me whole. My help comes from the keeper of this peace inside my soul. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Savior, who saved me by his word. My help comes from the healer, whose stripes have made me whole. My help comes from the keeper.
Jesus, hey, Good morning, family. It is great to see you. I just want to let you know, I don't know if you realized, when we saw our Messiah die on Friday, that Saturday was rough, but I have a message for you. I heard from Mary, he's no longer in the tomb. He is alive, amen? So I want you to say it with me. He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
He is alive.
Amen. He is alive. He is here. If you have had any doubts about where you are in this world and why you're here, we are here to give you good news. Your Savior has conquered death, and through Him, you can have new life. And for those who are believers in Christ, allow His Spirit to fill you. Allow yourself to be filled up today. On this day, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory for what you're going to do today, this Easter Sunday. You rose from the grave, and we want to acknowledge that fact, that you are our Savior, our King. Death cannot hold you. There is no sting. We give you praise and glory for what you're going to do today, and it's in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We're going to sing some worship songs together, acknowledging that He is worthy of praise and glory.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb. Yeah. Till I met you. Oh, when you called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. Soul. And now your freedom is all that I know. Yeah. The old man knew, Jesus, when I met you.
Here's our story. Let's sing it out. Come on, join with me.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. It's when you call my name. I
Hallelujah. He called your name. He called my name. We can run out of that grave this morning. Hallelujah. In His resurrection power. It's in Jesus' mighty name. All right, let's hear a word of the Lord this morning through Molly.
Good morning, church. Today I'm going to be reading Mark 16, 4 through 6. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Let's continue worshiping the Lord together.
Amen. Thank you, Molly. All right, here it is. We're going to sing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." I believe in the Son. I believe in the Risen One. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because He covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, every fear is gone. And I know He holds my life, my future in His hand.
Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, every fear is gone. I know He holds my life,
my future in His to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, could you imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory. Wear my sin and bear my shame. Cross has broken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings holds me alone. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one. awesome grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Redeemer, King. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set us free.
You're the well that never runs. out to your Savior. Reach out to your King. Reach out to your Lord. Here I am.
Some folks maybe who don't necessarily tune into the service every week listening, because I need you to know this. There's a reason why if we search for things that are worldly, if we search for all that we can get, that this world can give us, it's going to leave a hole. We're never going to feel content. We're never going to feel that satisfaction. We're never going to be at peace. And I want to tell you why. Because God made you that way. He made you to find your completeness, find your hope, find your peace in the Lord Jesus. Find all that you are. And that might mean your future might change. But what you can do is put every fear, every failure, it's been buried. It was nailed on that cross. It was put to death. All of the things that you call yourself, all of the things that you feel this world is impressing upon you, I'm here to give you freedom by telling you this: Jesus Christ rose from the grave so that you might have life, so that you might be set free, so that you might feel that freedom in the Lord to say, God, I depend on you. The past is gone. It's been put to death. There is no one who's going to condemn you, because your Savior doesn't condemn you right now. Allow yourself to be set free. Set free to say, Jesus, I depend on you. Lord God, I depend on you. I am the branch. You are the vine. Daily I desire to live for you. And in that freedom, May the weight of the world be lifted. And I know sometimes that doesn't change the situation you're in. For others, sometimes it does. There is the miraculous in some individuals' lives, and for others, they have to go through what they've got to go through. But I'll tell you what, doing it with a Savior right alongside you that you can depend on through the whole way is a great way to live life. It's the life God intended for you. And your brothers and sisters in Christ can help. We can love you. And we're going to fail. That's why you can't look at us humans. You can't look at the world to say, I can depend on you. Because you can't. You might be able to today. Tomorrow it'll be gone. That's the same way with us. Today maybe we'll give you help. Tomorrow we might fail you. But that's okay. That's who we are. We're humans. God will never fail you. Christ Jesus will never fail you. And it's on this Resurrection Sunday that in full confidence you can sing, I depend on you. Because you live, I can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds my life and my future. It's in your hands, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now we give this morning to you. We give you our lives. We give you all of our future, our hopes and our dreams. We place it through you because it's through you that we need to see everything else in this world. It's through your eyes. It's through your footsteps. It's through your hands that we need to touch those around us. For those who are struggling, God, I pray right now for relief. Lord, I pray for your presence to be among those who are struggling right now. Let the freedom in Jesus Christ be a peace that surpasses all understanding. And we'll guard our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, we depend on you. We give you glory for this day. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Happy Easter!
And good morning, church family.
We are the Marshall family, and we're excited to share announcements with you.
Yeah. If you haven't already done so, please take some time right now to fill out our connection card. You can go to our website at www.alegonline.com and click the Connection and Prayer tab. There you can submit prayer requests, give praise reports, even ask questions for Pastor Greg. He takes the time to read each one of them, and it's our way of staying connected.
Hey, guys, haven't you filled out your connection card yet?
Not yet. Sure.
Yes.
I totally have.
Let's do this.
Beginning April 11th, Pastor Greg will be starting a new sermon series called What Would Jesus Do? This series will focus on the third A-Live marker, purpose. To live this marker, we need to ask one simple question each day. What would Jesus do?
So mark your calendars from April 11th to June 20th and join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. while Pastor Greg will teach us how to cultivate, plant, water, and harvest from the life of the Master himself.
Today at 11:45, preschool and elementary students can join us for the Kids Church Easter Jam. We are going to have a lot of fun. We will even have an at-home Easter egg hunt. I can't wait! Look, there's the Easter Bunny. Here you go!
Thanks for joining us today, lifers and guests. We hope you have a blessed Easter and a great week. We love you guys.
Now, let's hop on over to church and listen to Pastor Greg.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Do you celebrate Easter?
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you celebrate Easter?
No.
Do I celebrate Easter? No.
Do you celebrate Easter?
Yes, I do.
What's so important about Easter? What's it all about?
I believe it's because the day Jesus was born, or it has to do with God.
Why do you celebrate Easter?
It's a fun family time.
Is there any significance to why we recognize it as a holiday?
I don't recognize it as a holiday due to my religious beliefs.
Do you celebrate Easter?
Not really.
I just know that you pick up Easter eggs on Easter.
Why do you celebrate Easter?
Because my parents did.
What do you think the significance of Easter is? What's it all about?
It's about Christ. The Christ of...
Why do you celebrate Easter?
Because that's how I grew up.
What's it all about?
I don't know.
What's the significance of Easter?
I really don't know.
Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead?
Yeah.
You know, that's the historical meaning of the holiday.
Oh, really?
That's it.
Learn something new every day, don't you?
Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead?
Yes.
Do you know that's the significance of the holiday?
I do now.
I know. Most people celebrate it about Jesus, but I'm not religious, so.
They say Jesus rose from the dead, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't know.
It's, something of Jesus, I don't know.
Well, I think it has something to do with, like, God, or I don't know. I don't really know that much, but...
Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Is that...
I really don't know what I believe.
Good morning, lifers. He is risen. He's risen indeed. That's your line, right? Yeah, we've got some folks here live. This is awesome. And they knew the line. I know you at home knew the line too. Fascinating video, right? How many times did you hear the word, I don't know? I don't know. I don't know. You know, there's a scripture about that, talking about the resurrection and that statement. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, it says this, don't you know? Don't you know? We need to know, don't you know, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We too. Don't you know that we too? That's powerful, isn't it? This is the most amazing day that the earth has ever seen, that the world has ever known. It changed not only the life there in the first century, it changes our life, and it changes all of eternity. And I can hear God crying out, don't you know? Don't you know? But yet so much of the world says, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. This morning, we need to know. See, this day of Easter gets overshadowed so much by the day of Christmas. On Christmas, it seems everybody knows that there's, you know, the gift giving, and maybe because it's all about us, that's why people know, because they get stuff on that day. But Christmas seems to overshadow the holiday of Easter, when really there's no promise in the Bible that says if you believe in the birth, there'll be some kind of eternal consequence. When there certainly is, if you believe in the resurrection, there's eternal consequence. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's an eternal promise about belief in the resurrection. Yet so many people say, I don't know. Today we want to solve that problem. And we want to also help us to understand that today's folks that don't know aren't a whole lot different than those that saw Jesus even face to face in the first century. Today I want to talk to you in a message entitled, We Will Rise. We Will Rise. That when Jesus rose from the dead, there was the immediate death of death. That death no longer had power. Death no longer held us in its grip. Death no longer was the enemy, because it's been put to death. It's gone. But there's also the present we will rise. That there is complete life change when we believe in the resurrection. Romans says that. Don't you know that we too can live a new life? So I want to talk to us this morning about we will rise to this new life. And I want to do so with bringing to mind five stories of the people's reaction to the resurrection. Not too different from the reaction that we saw on the video. That people were skeptical, people were afraid, people didn't understand, people didn't know things. Just like today. But when they confronted the risen Christ, everything changed. Would you just pause for a moment with me? I know there are probably many of you that you are Easter only, you know, type folks. And I'm sure glad you're watching in today. But I just want to pause, have a word of prayer, and ask God just to teach us today, just by His Spirit to our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, let Your Word become alive in each of our hearts today so that we will rise to new life today. Whether we're a believer or we're not yet a believer, there's still so much that we don't know. And help us today to rise with You. Because You rose from the dead, we also can have new life. Help us today to understand, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. First story I want to tell you. Number one, we will rise from brokenhearted to joy. We will rise from brokenhearted to joy. This is the story about Mary. Mary in John chapter 20, verse 10 to 18. Mary was a special lady. Mary, to her, Jesus was her whole life. You see, Luke 8 says that Mary was a woman who had been possessed by seven demons. But yet Jesus touched her and freed her of that demon possession. And since that day of her freedom, she followed Jesus and was faithful. Did you know that there was a group of women who followed Jesus? And they weren't the 12 male disciples, but these ladies were every bit disciples. For it says that out of their own pockets, they would support Jesus' ministry. There was Mary Magdalene, this Mary we're talking about, and some other women that served him. Mary followed Jesus diligently from that day. When it came time for Jesus to be crucified, and many of the disciples abandoned him and scattered. You know who was near the cross? Mary. She was with Jesus' mother, with James and John. She was there. When Jesus died, the scripture makes point to say, and Mary paid attention to where the body was laid. And then 3 days later, on this Easter morning, the first day of the week, it was Mary, along with a couple of other women, who went to the tomb to anoint his body. And it was those ladies who discovered that the stone had been rolled away. Well, in bewilderment, the other ladies went back into town, but not Mary Magdalene. She stayed. This lady was faithful. But yet in this moment, she was brokenhearted because she was suffering a loss. The loss of the one who set her free. The loss of the one who taught her. The loss of the one who led her. The loss of the one who had shown her so much forgiveness and grace and love. Her heart was broken. And not even angels could console her. That when she went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away, angels appeared and said, why are you crying? Don't you know he's risen? But it's as if she couldn't see that or hear that. Have you ever been so brokenhearted that you just can't see beyond the grief? I know some of you have. That the hurt is so intense that even an angel could show up and it doesn't bring any joy because it just hurts. You're broken. And that's what Mary felt that day. But yet, she didn't realize she was about to rise to new life. Because as she wandered in the garden, searching somehow to find who had maybe taken her Lord's body, she saw a man and she began to ask the man, you know, did you take his body? Was it you? If you have, please give him back. And she turned away. When she turned away, she heard the voice, a familiar voice calling her name. And he said, Mary. And immediately, the speaking of her name brought resurrection into her spirit because she knew it was the Lord's voice. And she turned and she cried out and she said, "Teacher, it's you." And she clung to him. That word clung in the Hebrew or in the Greek means a clinging as to not let go. And I can hear in Mary's actions her saying, "I thought I lost you, and I'm not going to let go of you now. Now that I've got you back again, I'm holding tight." And Jesus says, "Mary, it's okay. You don't have to hold on to me like that. I'm with you. And I'm never going to leave you again. Not only I'm never going to leave you, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit." You see, the resurrected Jesus brought resurrection into Mary's life from being brokenhearted to joy. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you'll be there tomorrow. But I want to tell you, the resurrection power of Jesus brings new life. And it brings new life to the brokenhearted. Yeah, for Mary, it was more of an instantaneous thing because she didn't see the Lord and then she saw the Lord. For some, it might take a little long, but I want you to know, when you stay close and when you listen for His voice, the resurrection power to new life will bring brokenheartedness to joy. Just like it did to Mary that day, because one day you're going to see Him face to face. And while we wait, He's with us. He's near. He's not far. You see, Mary's brokenheartedness kind of left her blind. Jesus wasn't really far away. He was actually right behind her. She was just blinded in her brokenheartedness. The first resurrection appearance to any person was to Mary. It's almost as if Jesus was making a point. If there's anybody that I want to show myself to first, it's that lady that used to be possessed, but now she's free and she's never left my side. I'm going to make sure she knows that I'm resurrected and that she can have resurrection life too. First resurrection is brokenhearted to joy. We can experience that today. Number two, we will rise from being downcast and hopeless to clear thinking and with renewed passion. We can arise from being hopeless and downcast. That very same day, the scripture says, the very same day, Jesus appeared to Mary in the morning. Later on that day, there are two men who are walking from Jerusalem to this other city called Emmaus. And there's this road called the Emmaus Road because it's from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And these two men are walking, and as they're walking, they're discussing the events of the last few days, like any of us would do. When there's a news flash, there's a big something that happens in our nation, in our state, everybody talks about it. And let me tell you, everybody was talking about what had just happened. You could just see the social media posts in Jerusalem of that day. Have you heard? Have you heard? Oh, the Jews, look what they did to Jesus. I can't believe they did that. Others say, well, Jesus was a liar. He was a fake. He was a phony. If he wasn't, how come he didn't raise from the dead? How come he didn't come down from the cross? And the factions began to happen just like they happen today with all of the chaos in our culture. And they're talking about these things and saying, did you hear about the thunder and the earthquake that happened? But yeah, I heard it was, you know, from the scientists that it was some kind of natural disaster. Well, what about the darkness that covered the earth from noon to 3 o'clock? Well, the science says that there was some kind of freaky solar eclipse, and on and on and on they go. Well, what about the people that they thought were dead? And it turns out they weren't really dead. They were just missing persons because these people we thought were dead all of a sudden appeared in the city. And how strange is that? And did you hear about the vandals that went into the temple and they tore the temple curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place? And it's kind of weird though. Why did they take a stepladder and tear it from top to bottom? That doesn't make any sense. And you get the picture. They're talking about the affairs of the day. And in the midst of that, Jesus shows up. And he says, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" Jesus is hilarious, especially on Resurrection Day. He says, "What are you guys talking about?" And the scripture says their eyes were blinded. They couldn't recognize him. Now, isn't it fascinating that we can get so hopeless that you can't see hope when it's standing right in front of you? You ever been there? When things are so dark so heavy, so just without possibility in your thinking, that when there is possibility staring you right in the eye, you miss it. That's what happened to these guys. And so when Jesus said, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" They said, kind of sarcastically, "Are you the only one living on earth who does not know the things that are happening today?" And Jesus, I can see his eyes just kind of rolling. And then he goes, "Well, what things?" You got to love Jesus. What things? And they go on to tell him about the women. And it's interesting. It says, "And our women went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away." One of the men's name, the scripture says, is Cleopas. And it says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb with Mary, the wife of Cleopas. So it's very, very likely, if not, you know, absolute, that this was one of the husbands walking away from the city who didn't believe his wife. Man, here's something for you. Believe your wife when she tells you the tomb is empty. They're walking along. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe the ladies. They're bewildered. They're downcast. They're hopeless. Why? Because they said, "We thought he was the one who was going to restore the hopes of Israel." You see, their hopes were misdirected. They didn't understand the scriptures. And Jesus turned to them and said, "You foolish people." Now, lest we think Jesus is mad at them, kind of like, you know, when you read an email and you misread the tone and you clarify with the person, and the person says, "That's not the way I meant it." But the words, you know what I mean? That's kind of what we get out of scripture here. When Jesus says, "You foolish people, don't you know what the prophets spoke about?" And he starts in the Bible, in the Old Testament, because that's all they had. And he begins to lay out for them how the Christ had to come and suffer and die and rise again. And he spells it all out for them. And they're into it. They're going, "This is great stuff. Would you stay with us tonight? It's getting late already. Would you stay?" And Jesus agrees to stay. And while he's eating dinner with them, when he breaks the bread, suddenly their eyes are open. And they go, "Are you kidding me right now? It's been you the whole time and you didn't tell us?" Their eyes were opened and they said, "It's true. He is risen." And when they discovered that, poof, Jesus was gone. It says, and he disappeared from their sight. The fact is this: Jesus stayed long enough to explain to them through the word where their hope should lie. Let me tell you this morning. If you're downcast, if you're feeling hopeless, you know what will restore your hope? The resurrection of Jesus through the word of God. Jesus ministered the word of God. He walked them through the scriptures to renew their hope. Because their hope was already there in promises, in prophecies. They were just too blinded by despair to see their hope right in front of them. You know, when you're really hopeless, you got to get into your word, because there you'll find the truth. There you'll find the promises. There you'll find the hope right there written. And when you embrace that, not only do you see it written, but you'll see God. Just like the men who walked on the road to Emmaus. They saw the word and then they saw the Savior. And the resurrection of Jesus gave them new life. And in response, they got up and they headed back to Jerusalem to say, "Ladies, sorry we didn't believe you at first. We believe you now. He's risen." The resurrection will change your brokenheartedness to joy. The resurrection will change your hopelessness and despair to hope. Number three, the resurrection will change or will cause you to rise from fear to peace. From fear to peace. It says that very same night, Jesus was busy that day. He was busy. Mary in the morning, the men from Emmaus in the afternoon and evening. And that very same night, there's a group of disciples. John chapter 20, 19 to 23 says, on the evening of the first day of the week, same day, the disciples are gathered together and they're locked in the place they were staying for fear of the Jews. Shut the doors. Pull down the drapes. Turn off the lights. We're scared. Why are they scared? Well, if they'll crucify the leader, why wouldn't they crucify the followers? They didn't know what was going to happen. They had no idea. Jesus isn't there anymore. What's going to happen to them? So for fear of the Jews, they locked themselves away. They don't know what's going to happen next. Are they going to come get us? Are we the ones that are going to be crucified next? Why would we believe otherwise? They're trying to pin the stolen body on us. The story is already circulating, as recorded in Matthew 26, that the religious leaders, when the Roman guards came to them, circulated the story that the disciples came and stole the body. So the disciples think, are you kidding me? We ran away for fright. How are we going to steal the body? And the Roman soldiers were sleeping? Those guys never sleep. If they sleep on duty, that's a death penalty. They're not sleeping. But yeah, right. We're supposed to have gone in there, stepping over Roman soldiers asleep, and then whipping out our crowbars and pushing away the stone, this gigantic stone, and they slept through it. Right. That's the story. But what if people believe that? That's on us. You ever been so afraid that you're just paralyzed? Kind of like that squirrel that runs out in front of you in the car, and the squirrel goes left, right, left, right, left, and then you get so scared, you don't know which way to go. You don't know which way to turn. You get so afraid, you don't know how to decide. You're afraid every decision might turn out bad. Fear paralyzes us. Leaves us like a statue sometimes in the spirit, if not in body. And that's what these guys were feeling. We're afraid. We don't know what to do. We're just going to withdraw. We're going to pull away. We're going to shut the doors, shut the light, shut the curtains. And we're just scared. We don't even know what to do. In that moment, when Jesus went poof and left the guys in Emmaus, he went poof and showed up in the room. I wonder why Jesus does stuff like that. Why couldn't he just like wait, tick, 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 knocking on the door? And, hey, guys, it's okay. It's just me out here. It's me, Jesus. Yeah, resurrected from the dead. Remember the tomb this morning that you went and saw and nobody there? Angels told you? Yep, it's me. He just forgets all that stuff. And he's in the room. And these guys are even more petrified. But immediately Jesus says, peace. Peace. Guys, it's okay. I'm here. See me. Touch me. You see, when the resurrected Christ invades your fear, and that's what Jesus did. He didn't ask for permission to come into that room. He came. When the resurrection of Jesus invades your fear, it changes it from fear to peace. And immediately those people that were in that room received the peace that Jesus gave. He breathed on them, the scripture says, and says, peace be with you. You see, when you're so afraid and you don't know which way to turn, the resurrection of Jesus will cause you to rise. And he'll fill you with that peace so that no matter what happens, no matter what, the circumstances are irrelevant. You can live in peace. That's the power of the resurrected new life. That's why Christians are fearless. They're not careless. They're fearless. Because to live is Christ, to die is gain. What can a man do? Jesus said, don't fear the one who can destroy the body. Fear the one who can take the body and the soul and cast the soul to hell. There's only one to fear. That's the Lord Jesus. And when he comes and he says, peace be with you, we receive his peace. If you're afraid today, the resurrection of Jesus can fill you to new life and to peace. Well, we can rise from brokenheartedness to joy, from hopelessness to hope and renewed passion, from fear to peace. Number four, we can rise from doubt to faith. From doubt to faith. Well, you know, in that room where they were all afraid, so the disciples were there, where there was one disciple who didn't get the memo about the rendezvous point. Okay, when they made all their plans, they said, okay, synchronize our watches. If anything goes haywire, we're going to meet back here all together and we'll figure it out. Well, one guy went, missed the memo, missed the meeting. And that was Tom. Thomas didn't get the memo. He wasn't there. Isn't it amazing how when you're kind of outside the body of Christ, how Jesus can show up and you'll miss it? This is not a sermon on being with the fellowship of the family, but let me just tell you, God shows up when the family's together, and if you're outside the family, sometimes you miss him. But the disciples went to Thomas and said, Thomas, you missed it. We were so scared. We were just like bar the doors, and while we were in this place, Jesus just went, whoo, and he showed up. And he showed himself to us. What the lady said from the tomb is true. What Mary said was true. What Cleopas said was true. It's all true. And Thomas goes, not buying it. Nope. People don't rise from the dead. Don't you know? Trust the science. It doesn't happen. Don't believe it. Don't buy it. But Thomas, don't you understand? He showed himself. He showed us his hands. He showed us his... He was there. We touched him. Nope. I don't believe it. Unless he shows himself to me, unless I touch him, then I'll believe. If not, forget it. You ever known somebody like that? You ever known someone who's just so skeptical? So skeptical. Maybe even as a Christian, you think, well, I believe some things, but there's other things that I don't buy. Even if you believe some, there's still maybe issues that you're skeptical about. You see, while the others were rejoicing, Thomas had no rejoicing. Why? Because your skepticism or your doubt blocks your faith. No faith, no joy. No faith, no peace. No faith, no hope. Because you don't believe. Your faith is blocked by the skepticism. Maybe you've been there. And that skepticism leaves you just void of all the beautiful promises of God. And I find it interesting that the scripture says that God made him wait a week before he showed up again. And I don't know why Jesus does these kind of things. But I got a feeling he's trying to give Tom just some time to get it, to listen to the other disciples, to listen to the arguments, to listen to the, he really did show up. He was really there. We saw him. And, you know, it's just trust us. Gave him a whole week and he's still saying, nope, nope, nope. I don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Until they're all together. And then Jesus once again goes and shows up in the room a second time. And said, why did he do it a second time? I got a feeling that he did that just for Tom, so that the other disciples could say, see, we told you. We told you this is what he did. And Jesus did it again, so that Thomas could see. And then Thomas, of course, is recoiled, and Jesus goes right to him and says, Thomas, touch my hands. Touch my side. Have faith and stop doubting. In that phrase is a huge, huge challenge for us. Because when Jesus says stop doubting, he's appealing to Thomas's choice. Saying, Thomas, you have a choice right now to believe or doubt. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? You going to believe or not? Blessed are those who didn't have to see me face to face and they still made the right choice. They made the right choice to believe. You, Thomas, had to see me first. I'm glad you believe. You're mine. We're together. We're good. But it's better if you believe without the proof. That's what faith is all about, Tom. You know, I got a feeling Thomas might have just had an issue of digging his heels in because nobody likes to be proven wrong. Nobody likes it. It's humiliating to be proven wrong. But when Thomas saw the Lord, he chose to stop doubting. And he fell before him and said, my Lord and my God. the resurrection power of Jesus gave Thomas new faith. It gave him a renewed joy and peace and hope, because the skepticism was removed from the picture. Now he could see life through faith, and faith restored him. Is that you today? You skeptic? You can believe without the proof, you know. Just look around. Jesus said there's enough proof surrounding you in the beautiful creation. There's enough evidence every day to believe in a God. But yet we choose. Romans chapter 1 says people deliberately decided not to believe. What's your choice today? You want to stay in skepticism and therefore just stay empty? Because if there's nothing, what kind of joy is there in that? But the resurrection of Jesus can resurrect faith in you so that you can see him and choose to believe. Finally, number 5, fifth story. It's now the disciples are just trying to figure out what happens next. Mary's been restored from brokenheartedness to joy. The guys from Emmaus, from hopelessness to hope. The disciples from fear to peace. And even Thomas from doubt to faith. But now it's, what do we do next? What's the next steps? And they're all trying to figure it out because nothing is the same. I mean, Jesus is back. They've seen him 2 times already, the disciples. And it's not the same though. He's here, but it's not like, okay, guys, let's pick up where we left off. I'm going to lead and I'm going to preach and do miracles and feed the hungry and you're going to be with me. It's going to be great. And let's go. It's not like that. Matter of fact, Jesus keeps talking about leaving. And we're not sure what, we don't know what to do. We're kind of confused with this whole thing. What do we do? You know, when you're confused and you don't really know what to do, what we typically do is we retreat to something that's familiar. We retreat to the security of something we do know. This is why it's really tough oftentimes for those who have been stuck in addictive behaviors to get free, because you do hit walls. You do hit, you know, stubborn points of life. And when you're confused and not quite sure where to go, it's easy for the alcoholic to go back to the bottle, or the drug addict to go back to the high, or the sex addict to go back to the porn, or the food addict to go back to eating, or the gossip to go back to the talk, or the liar back to the lie. It's easy for us to go back to what we know when we're confused and we don't know what to do next. Now, these guys are saved. They're followers. They're disciples. But we all hit those dry spots, don't we? We hit those dry patches when it's like, it's not quite there. Something's not quite right. And we tend to retreat and go back. That's what the disciples did. Peter wasn't sure what to do, and he's usually the lead guy. And he says, well, guys, I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure what's going to happen next, but, you know, I'm going to go fishing. We know how to fish. And besides, I'm kind of hungry. Let's go fish. Okay, we're with you, Pete. We're going to go fish. So that's what they do. At least that's something they know. They've been doing it all their life. And they go to fish. Well, when Jesus, by his resurrection, raises you, he raises you from the confusion to purpose. And while the disciples were going backwards, Jesus said, okay, I've kind of seen this picture before. I'll go with you, but I'm going to help you. And so the disciples are out fishing, and as they're fishing, they're catching nothing. And I got a hint that Jesus kind of had a hand in that. Seems like whenever he doesn't want them to catch stuff, they don't. And when he does want them to catch stuff, they do. So I got a feeling Jesus is just saying, okay, fish, nobody in the net. Because they're fishing, and they're fishing, and they're fishing, and they got zilch. And it's early in the morning, and Jesus shows up on the beach and says, hey, guys, how's the fishing going? Not very good. Haven't caught anything. Hey, why don't you try the right side of the boat? And if I'm those guys, I'm thinking, is this deja vu? That's kind of happened. I remember. Okay, we'll throw it on the other side of the boat. And they do. And when they do, 153 fish jump in the net. And they drag that thing in. And when that happens, Peter goes, I have definitely seen this picture before. This happened to me 3 years ago when we started out on this whole journey. I think that's the Lord. And he doesn't waste any time. In the water, he swims to shore. The other disciples go, let him swim. We'll take breakfast. And they bring in the fish. It's interesting. The first and only time in the scripture where it counts the number of fish. The rest of the time is just a multitude of fish. This time, 153 exactly. A friend of mine who's a pastor has a Hebrew person in his church who's fluent in Hebrew and says that the Hebrew alphabet has a numeric equivalent for each letter. And when you add put the letters together that has the sum of their numeric equivalent is 153. Those words are, I am God. I don't know if that's true. It's just a cool little kind of thing. But it wouldn't surprise me for Jesus to say, let's get 153 fish in that net so that they'll know I'm God. And when they come, Jesus says, why don't you bring over some of those fish you've caught? Yeah, like they caught them. And he's already got the fire going. And as they're around the fire, put some fish on the fire. You see, when we're tempted to go backwards and to slip into the security of our comfort zone, Jesus will come. But he's not going to let us stay there. He's going to bring us forward to purpose. And in the conversation, he begins to talk. And he's talking mainly to Peter, but the others are listening and they're getting it. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I do. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. What's Jesus doing? He's saying, Peter, you've been fishing. I'm trying to get you to go forward. Your confusion and your lack of understanding of what's going on in your life right now is leading you to slip back into a comfortable place. Slip back into what you know. Slip back into what you're good at. Slip back into the old life again. Listen, I don't want you to go back there. I want you to go forward. I told you I'd make you fishers of men. I want you to go forward into purpose. I've got something for you to do. The resurrection power will cause us to rise from that confusion to purpose. You see, whenever we hit those dry spots, we're not quite sure what to do or where to go. What Jesus is saying to Peter, there's always going to be somebody to touch. There's always going to be somebody to serve. There's always going to be somebody to reach out to. There's always going to be someone that you can lend a helping hand. There's always going to be someone that you can share my gospel with. Pete, don't go backwards, go forwards. Don't go back to the old ways. I've got purpose for you. And in just a few days, Jesus filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they went forward in purpose. You see, the resurrection power will take you from confusion and those dry spots of our life and will move us toward purpose. It's always there. It's always true. There's always something we can do for our Savior. The resurrection will cause us to rise, not only in the last day. That's the not yet, but will cause us to rise now in the present. And if you're brokenhearted today, he can raise you to joy. If you're hopeless today, he'll raise you to new hope and clear thinking by the power of the word. When you're fearful today, he can raise you to peace. If you're skeptical today, he'll raise you to faith. And when you're feeling confused, he'll raise you to purpose. That's the power of the resurrection. John 10:10, the passage that we name our church after. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've given you life and life abundantly. That's the life of resurrection power. Deuteronomy chapter 30 echoes this whole talk this morning, 19 to 20, when it says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that you have set that I have set before you life, resurrection, or death, stay put. Blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may have the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. That's New Testament resurrection power right there, spoken from Deuteronomy. Choose today, life or death, for the Lord is your life. He's a resurrected king, but it's our choice. What will you choose? Will you choose resurrection? Or will you choose the past life? Will you choose resurrection or will you choose brokenheartedness? Will you choose resurrection or will you choose hopelessness? Will you choose resurrection or will you choose fear? Will you choose resurrection or will you choose doubt? Will you choose resurrection or will you choose confusion? It's our choice. I want to pray for us and then we're going to celebrate the resurrection with the body and the blood of Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that on this Easter Sunday, that you would just show up in people's hearts and minds right now. You may not just poof enter their room in a physical body, but I know this, God, that by your Holy Spirit's presence, you are showing up right now in hearts and minds. In the hearts and minds of those, wherever they are, who are watching and listening. And some of them are brokenhearted and they need joy. Some of them are hopeless and downcast and they need renewed hope. Some of them are fearful and they need peace. Some of them are skeptical and they need faith. Some of them are confused and they need purpose. God, right now I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill each and every one with your resurrection life and cause them to rise as you rose. And it's as simple as Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, or confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, you will be saved. God, right now, we want to profess that you are Lord and that you rose from the dead and that we have been risen with you. We've been raised with you. Today, God, we confess that. For we want to live in your resurrection power. In Jesus' name. If you believe that today, maybe it's the first time, go to the website. Go to the connection area, or prayer and connection, and fill out the connection card there. Say, today, I made the decision to enter into resurrection power. We'll get a hold of you. We'll teach you what it means to live this way. It's not that we have any magic words. We just follow the word of God. Just some of us have been doing it a while. We'll help you. We'll come alongside. If you're a Christian today and you found yourself stuck in one of those areas and you need a little extra prayer, after service today, there'll be those ready on a Zoom prayer room to pray with you. And if you've got extra questions, write them on a connection card. Send them in. We'll respond and help you. God wants to raise us up. Just a few days before all of this occurred, Jesus sat with his disciples at the Last Supper. He took the bread. He broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my body. The body that I'm giving as a substitute so that you don't have to live brokenhearted and hopeless and fearful and skeptical and confused. You can live with resurrection power. This is my body. And that's what this is for." God, thank you for your broken body, that we can rise just as you were raised. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the blood of my new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink it and remember me." His blood poured out was the forgiveness that gives us resurrection power. If we don't ask for forgiveness, we're not forgiven. But it's there waiting. Why wouldn't we just receive His forgiveness? Today, wherever you are, the grace of God is standing right there, right at the door of your heart, knocking. Let me forgive you. That's what His blood was poured out for, so that we could enter into this raised life. Lord, thank you for your forgiving blood that washes us, cleanses us, purifies us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross. And thank you that you rose to life. Let's take the cup together. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you for your body and your blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for all that you have given us, God. And thank you most of all that we were raised with you to new life. Today I pray. I pray, God, from this day forward, no matter where we are, no matter what we've been through, that we will live in the power of the empty tomb today. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In the matchless name of Jesus, the resurrected one, the Savior, the grace giver, the Redeemer, the soon incoming King, the Forgiver, the Light of the World, the Love, the Manna from Heaven, the Bread of Life, the Gate, the Open Door, the Strong Son of God. In that name, the name that is above all names, in that name, we say the Amen. So be it in our lives, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lifers, we love you so much. Let's continue to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday every day. For that's why Jesus died and rose again, so that every day we can live in resurrection power. Enjoy this day and enjoy Him every day. God bless you. Know that you're loved. Amen.
till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the church was rightful born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint, but His blood and in His name, in His grace.
Could it be that a move of God is coming? Can you feel all the ground beneath us shaking? Let it be this day on earth, 'cause we're all kingdom dreamers. Could it be we'll see miracles and healings as we pray? You will shatter all addictions. Let it be this day on earth, 'cause we're all kingdom dreamers. God, let your will be done. Heaven come down. God, let your fire fall. Heaven come down. We sing your kingdom song. Open up the gate so we can see the King is coming. We will stand here undivided, all will see. We're your holy church united, let it be this day on earth, 'cause we're all kingdom dreamers. Could it be that the darkness will be silenced on our streets? There'll be peace instead of violence. Thank you.
heart you give joy, joy, joy. It's everlasting, it's never changing. Your love is making.